We've been asked to read from John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1 through verse 11. John 15, 1 through 11. The verse, as I read over this quickly, the verse that stood out to me was verse 7, where Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." And how many times we've asked why God doesn't answer our prayers. And if God doesn't answer our prayers, it's because we're not abiding in him, and we are not allowing his word, the scriptures, to abide in us. That gives us the context of praying within the will of God so that he can answer. But oftentimes we pray and God answers, but in a way we don't understand. But I was drawn to some of the scriptures from the Sunday school lesson in Philippians chapter 1. In verse 12 and 13, Paul says this. He said, "You should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that in my bonds," meaning he was a prisoner, "in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in other places." And what Paul was saying, you know, Paul wanted to go to Rome as a preacher, but he ended up going to Rome as a prisoner. And the bottom line is, the word palace there talks about the special praetorium, the guard, the emperor's guard. I think it was about 9,000 strong. And Paul was actually chained to different ones of these prisoners as they switched shifts and all of that. And he got to proclaim the gospel to the men whose duty it was to protect the emperor. And so Paul was a prisoner, but it wasn't in a way he's expecting. In fact, the word furtherance in verse 12 of Philippians 1 is an interesting word. The Greek army used this word talking about the engineers that would prepare the roads into a new territory so that the Greek foot soldiers and cavalry and their equipment could go into new territory for warfare. And so Paul was saying, God has brought me, I'm bringing in new territory. I'm opening a way for new territory for the gospel. And that was done not as going to Rome as a preacher, but going as a prisoner. So oftentimes we don't recognize when God has answered our prayers. But Paul was mature enough to understand this. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make, abiding in Christ and allowing his word to abide in us is what matters when it comes to our prayer life. And a result of that is Paul, even though he was a prisoner, he was able to rejoice. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved you, me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Let's kneel as we pray.
Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to see each of you here. Brother Derek led us just a few minutes ago in number 138. How great thou art. And there that one phrase that we sang in the last verse, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. We cannot fully comprehend what that joy must be to actually enter into the very presence of that final home, there to be with Jesus. But what's burdening my heart, and I believe God has given me this burden for the morning message, that burden is that we would experience joy right now. And so the message titled this morning is The Joy of the Lord. Synonyms of the word joy would be delight, gladness, happiness. Joy for the worldling is a fleeting thing. It's really not joy, it's more like a moment of happiness. The pleasures of sin are but for a season. People are looking for happiness all over this world in many places. And they're reaching for joy, but they come away with their hands empty and their hearts hurting. And they don't find it. True happiness and joy. Does it come from having enough friends? Does it come from having enough money? Does true joy come from having enough popularity? Maybe the right job, maybe the right dream home. Do these things really bring true joy? Does human nature even know when enough is enough? Joy does not mean this morning that you're constantly smiling or you're giggling all the time, just having a high old time. That's not the joy that we are talking about. Number one, this morning we want to consider the basis of joy in the Lord. And number one, under this, the basis of joy, we have to remember there is only one true source of joy, and that is the Lord Himself. And that's why the sermon title is The Joy of the Lord. It's the only joy. We look nowhere else. It's the only place we're going to find joy. Brother George read John 15, 1 through 11, and verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that the joy, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Jesus says that my joy, it's Jesus' joy, it's the joy of the Lord. And really, we're shortchanging ourselves as Christians if we do not have that joy of the Lord every day of our life. It is His gift to His children. And unfortunately, I'm afraid many times, and this is the burden the Lord hath put upon me, that we shortchange ourselves and we go through this life with a long face, with no witness for the Lord, nothing to offer the world that they would want what we have with our long face. I know we're not smelling 24/7, but we could do better many times. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the only source. Jesus says that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And so the seeker of joy must come to the Lord. The basis of joy, come to the Lord for salvation, confessing your sins and your need of the Savior, repenting of those sins, and leading a new life from then on in obedience to God's word. And so we first of all must come to the Lord, the giver and the blesser of joy, and accept Jesus as our Savior. Number two, under the basis of joy, a daily abiding in Jesus. And Brother George read about that from John 15. Abide in me and I in you. You know, the Jesus teaching here in John 15 about the vine and the branches. The branches have no life. The branches have no enthusiasm. The branches have no joy when they are separated, when they are cut off from the vine. They have no life. And so there needs to be a relationship if we're going to have joy today. A relationship with the giver of joy, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches. He keeps us strong. He enables us to bear fruit. Verse 4 there that Brother George read, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. And so the Lord is the giver of joy. We come to him in for salvation, and he gives us his Holy Spirit, and he gives us joy. But then as we go down through from that day of conversion and the baptismal waters, we need to continue to abide in Jesus on a daily basis. And verse 10 talks about obeying him. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Joy is very, very related and connected and tied to the love of God. And our love in response to his love, our love back to him. The love of God, it makes this joy possible. You know, these things, abiding in Christ and being attached to him and having this relationship with him, this daily communion, and this obedience and abiding in his love, verse 10, these all result in joy that God and the Lord Jesus want us to remain in, and that our joy there in verse 11 might be full. It all leads up to that and makes this joy a possibility, a real accessible thing in our lives. Practicing the presence of God. In Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11, this verse talks about joy. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, Brother Llewellyn has gone on to be with the Lord, and he's experiencing firsthand, and right there in his presence, there is the fullness of joy. And he's experiencing that the Savior's right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. But I believe the challenge that God would want you and I to receive this morning is the fact that there is the presence of joy and there's the presence of the Savior here and now. We shortchange ourselves and we make ourselves miserable and we don't live vibrant Christian lives like we ought to if we forego that joy now. That joy of the Lord is for now. It's not that finally we're going to get out of this misery and all these trials and tribulations and all the troubles and distresses. And finally, when we leave this life and enter the presence of the Lord, we're going to finally have joy. That's hardly a Christian witness. When all the world hears from us is grumbling and complaining and all our troubles and a long face. And I'm preaching this to myself. Sometimes my face is too long. And I'm not rejoicing in the Lord as I should. In thy presence is joy. And so it's a matter of whether or not we're living life in his presence. If we're not experiencing joy in this life, it may well be, and it's probably true, that we're not practicing the presence of Christ. We're not daily abiding in him. Seems to me that would be the answer if you're not really experiencing joy in this life's experience. Another thing about the basis of joy, our sins must be forgiven. You know, we must have experienced the atonement. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Reconciliation, that word atonement. The fact that we have been reconciled, we have been brought back into relationship with our God. This enables a person to have joy that the world knows nothing of. And so the basis of joy, you know, the only source of joy is the Lord. And we need to daily abide in Jesus and practice the presence of God. And we need to obey him and abide in his love. And we must experience sins forgiven, be the atonement, the reconciliation that Jesus Christ brings about on our behalf. Also, basis for joy. The last one here, having the Holy Ghost. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7, for none of us, that's not it. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And so the basis for having joy in our hearts, the joy of the Lord, is having the Holy Ghost. And when we receive Jesus as Savior, we're given that gift of the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to lead us and to fill us with joy. Only the Spirit-filled and led believer has joy. An abiding joy that the world takes not away, that the circumstances of life and the hard places that you encounter, and I know many suffered tremendously, things like cancer and things like loved ones suddenly being snatched away, but the joy of the Lord cannot be taken from you. When you are living a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led and directed life, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. Number two this morning, barriers to the joy of the Lord. First of all, we considered the basis of the joy of the Lord. Now, number two, the barriers that we might encounter to having the joy of the Lord. Number one, self-centeredness. It absolutely will destroy joy out of your life and out of mine. If I determine to be self-centered, the world revolves around me. Everybody else has hurt me and everybody else has offended me. And I'm the poor victim. My joy is going to disappear on the evening breeze. It's just going to go away. Self-centeredness and the joy of the Lord do not co-inhabit. So a barrier to the joy of the Lord, I believe this morning very strongly, is self-centeredness. It's really a lack of God. It's really a lack of love for God and for others when we are self-centered, and when we forfeit that most precious thing that God gives us, the joy that He puts down within our soul. Self-centeredness, a lack of love for God and others, that's what it is. The more we realize that life is all about serving God and looking at what others need and seeing how we can encourage somebody else and seeing how we can lift somebody else up, that will give a person joy. Try it. A sure way to lose your joy. Let Satan lead you on a big self-pity party. Guaranteed, it will destroy your joy. Lousy, negative attitudes. Poor me. Poor mistreated me. People don't understand me. The church doesn't meet my needs. And on you can go in this self-pity party, wallowing in that mud of self-pity. It's no wonder there's no joy of the Lord in such a life. Because of being so negative, people forfeit their joy. Everyone else gets blamed. The church gets blamed when a glance in the mirror would reveal the problem. People can be so negative that all the positives and all the blessings of a good and a gracious God are not even seen. Blessings like the spouse, blessings like children, blessings like a family of God, blessings like a loving God and His precious Son, the Lord Jesus. We spend days of our lives in this self-pity party of just thinking negative thought after negative thought, and these blessings don't even come to our minds. In this we sin. And in this we rob ourselves of the joy that should be ours. Being negative, being critical. One of the worst things for a person's physical health and for a person's spiritual health. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Proverbs 17, verse 22. God is very displeased when we don't even recognize His goodness and His blessings because of our lousy, negative, bitter attitudes. We've considered the basis for joy of the Lord. We've considered barriers to the joy of the Lord. Number three this morning, we want to consider blessings of the joy of the Lord. Number one, strength for hard, difficult times. The joy of the Lord equips us and gives us and blesses us with a strength when we're going through that hard place. Maybe saying goodbye to a precious one. Watching a dear loved one go under the sod. Or many other circumstances in life. Blessings of the joy of the Lord. Strength for hard, difficult times. Helen Keller said, resolve to keep happy, and your joy shall form an invincible host against difficulty. Words from Helen Keller. Resolve to keep happy, and your joy shall form an invincible host against difficulty. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There in the letter to the Colossians, talking about being strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, the power of the Lord to strengthen us, that we would have all patience and that we would have long suffering for the trials of this life with joyfulness. I fall short. I don't know about you, but this message is for me. I trust it's for all of us, and that we would take it to heart and that we would not allow the devil to shortchange us and to rob us of the God-given right to joy. That should be yours and mine. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy. How can you count it all joy when you fall into various trials and troubles in life? Because we have one, we have a source of joy. We have a source of strength that can see us through that time. And we know we'd be done for without that. And so in that we joy. When various trials are faced with the joy of the Lord, there will be victory. Victory in the Lord. When trials are faced with grumbling and the attitudes of poor me, why me, defeat is inevitable. And we wonder sometimes why the devil gets us down. It's probably because of our attitudes. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. We're talking here about the blessings of the joy of the Lord, strength for hard, difficult times. 1 Peter 4, verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Do you have exceeding joy? Exceeding. Beyond anything we can comprehend or understand, that's how the peace of God is. This morning we're talking about joy. You know, even though we're partakers of Christ's sufferings, we can rejoice in the Lord because of an exceeding joy that He makes us glad with. Blessings of the joy of the Lord, another one. A positive witness. The joy of the Lord gives us the blessing of meeting other people with a strong and a powerful and exuberant witness, a positive witness. A Hindu once asked a native Christian of India, "What medicine do you put on your face to make it shine so?" "I don't put anything on it," said the Christian. "You do so," said the atheist. "All you Christians do. I've seen shining faces wherever I have met Christians." What does the world meet when they meet our face? I leave that challenge with myself and with you. Christians should really be, and now think about this, I think you have to agree, Christians should be the most joyful people on the earth. Another blessing of joy. We're enjoyable company at that point. It has been said by somebody, some people bring happiness wherever they go. Others bring happiness when they go. Number four this morning, first of all, we considered the basis of joy. Secondly, barriers to the joy of the Lord. Thirdly, the blessings of the joy of the Lord. And number four this morning, building joy of the Lord in our lives. Building joy in our lives. The joy of the Lord is something we should want. It should be natural that we would reach for and that we would desire and that we would try to gather up the joy of the Lord. Because who wants to be without joy? Who wants to be sad? And so let's think here a little bit this morning in our final thought, how we might build joy in our lives. Maybe we realize this morning that our joy is not what it should be. It's not really on the level that would make that Hindu say, "What have you put on your face to make it shine? What medicine?" I don't think I finished telling you the rest of that. The Christian responded at the end of that interview with the Hindu. The Christian said, "I will tell you what medicine I put on my face to make it shine. It is the joy that we Christians all have in our hearts because Jesus dwells there." Forgive me, I failed to finish that, but now it's finished. The Christian there, the native Christian in India, answered the Hindu, "It is the abiding presence of Jesus that makes our face shine so, that makes you think we put something on it." Building joy in our lives, something we should want. But Satan, a tremendous deceiver. So many times as an angel of light, he comes, he gets people looking for happiness and joy in all the wrong places. And so we keep grasping and we come away empty and we don't have joy. First of all, building joy in our lives, and some of this is a little repeat on the basis of joy, but bear with me. If we're going to build joy in our lives, we must realize that joy comes from the Lord. And so we must seek the Lord more. And we must cultivate that abiding in Jesus and that practicing the presence of Christ more in our daily lives if we are going to build joy in our lives. And so we must seek the Lord more. We must cultivate His presence in our lives more. We must abide in Him, and our joy will increase. Number two, building joy in the Lord. Praise God more. This will work. Praise God more and thank Him more. Our joy so much depends on our daily attitudes. Whether we're going to look at what we don't have and what we think we should have and what others have done to us, or whether we'll look at what the Lord has given us and what others have done for us, can make a tremendous difference in the amount of joy that we have in our lives. And so building joy in the Lord, you know, comes from the Lord. So let's seek Him. Number two, praise God more. Thank God more. You'll be amazed how that'll work. And at the same time, be less negative, less grumbling, less unthankful, less critical. And you will be blessed with a tremendous surge of joy in the Lord. Number three, how we are building joy in our lives. Number three, love God and others more. Less selfishness. And I guarantee you, joy will multiply. When that selfishness decreases, and love for God and love for others and concern for others, and the good deeds that we're able to do for others, joy will increase in our lives. It is automatic. As soon as that selfishness is turned into selflessness, and our lives center around the Lord Jesus and others, joy is guaranteed to increase. A fourth building block for building joy in our lives is to have an eternal view. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Building joy in our lives. You know, it's probably Paul saying, you had compassion on me in my bonds, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. These Christians lost out, and yet they took it joyfully because they knew in themselves that in heaven they would have a better and an enduring substance. They knew that here they only had a temporary home, and this world is not their home, but there's pilgrims and strangers, and they're seeking a city where they'll actually be in the eternal presence of the joy of the Lord. And so I'm saying this morning that as we build joy in our lives, if we keep an eternal view, rather than that short earthly view of, look what I've lost, look what I'm suffering, look what others are doing to me. Life is miserable, and it will be with that short earthly view. Seek those things which are above, not those things on the earth. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Have an eternal view, and the joy that is lacking in your life will grow. It'll grow in no time at all with that eternal view. Because with that eternal view, despite trials and difficulties, joy will build and grow by you simply keeping a heavenly view. And that this world is so temporary. Another building block for allowing joy to build and grow in our lives is that of faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, 8 and 9. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, speaking of faith, speaking of taking God at his word, believing the precious promises from Genesis through Revelation is going to increase the level of joy in our lives. It will be a tremendous building block, the building block of faith for allowing joy to grow in our lives. Another building block for allowing joy to increase and multiply in our lives is that of following after righteousness. Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, blessed, happy, joyful is the man who does not allow evil influences in his life. Blessed, happy, joyful is the man who follows the path of righteousness, does not go in the way of the sinner, in the way of the scorner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight, his happiness, his joy is in the law of the Lord, and it is in his law that he doth meditate day and night. Psalm 1 is a key to building joy in our lives. Blessed, happy, joyful is the man, there in Psalm chapter 1, because of the way he chooses to walk. And because he chooses to delight, he chooses to have joy in the Word of God, in the precepts of God, in the statutes of the Lord, in the commandments of the Lord. They're pure and lightening the eyes there in the one psalm. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. These things bring joy into the Christian's life. Following after righteousness makes a man blessed, makes a man happy, makes a man joyful. We're going to conclude. And in doing this, I want to go to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. We have considered this morning the joy of the Lord, the basis for it, the barriers to it, the blessings of it, and building blocks for increasing joy in our lives. Now, in conclusion, Isaiah chapter 61. It's a well-known verse, no doubt. Isaiah 61, verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I beg of you this morning, if you do not truly have the joy of the Lord in your life, give God a chance to prove himself faithful and to lift you up and give you beauty for ashes, to give you joy in the place of mourning. God is able and God desires to do this for each one of us. God and God alone can take the sad, heavy heart and make it joyful and light to his praise and honor and glory. Let go this morning of negative attitudes, of self-centeredness, of bitterness, and let God do a mighty work and experience the joy of the Lord.
I'd like to reread a verse that our brother mentioned, and I'm going to add a verse to it. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Our brother works in an orchard, produces a lot of fruit. Helps to produce a lot of fruit there. And he gave us some spiritual fruit this morning to digest on. And that one of them is joy. Joy, love, and peace. And we can go through all those in Galatians, but joy is something that we need to have. Maybe just stand for a word of prayer.